welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy here in Republic Broadcasting Network. Doing a little switch up in the schedule, a little short notice. I have David Scorpio coming on Wednesday night. That was his availability. And so I'm doing spiritual health and wellness tonight. So I'm going to get out the King James and do some Bible thumping, pulpit pounding, because I don't want you people to go to hell. So that you're going to get preached at. There's your fair warning. Got a sermon clip from Stephen Anderson on Romans 8 and Galatians 5, walking in the spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh and living by the law. And I want to roll that clip early on. It's almost 18 minutes, and we'll do commentary and your calls on the other side. Again, spiritual health and wellness tonight as opposed to Wednesday night. If you would, Julie, let's roll that clip, and I'll do take us up to the break.
Spirit, walking in the Spirit and following Christ actually gets us further down that road of righteousness. Because look what the Bible says in the next verse. It says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So if we walk in the Spirit, we end up fulfilling the righteousness of the law. And that's something that the law couldn't do. The law couldn't produce people who followed it. Right? It just kept producing lawbreakers, whereas the Holy Spirit, Christ, and the New Testament, Christianity, has allowed the law to be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you've got the unregenerate person, the unsaved person, the carnal mind, not saved, not regenerate. And what happens? They start following the Old Testament laws of God. They're not able to. They cannot bring their carnal mind into subjection to the laws of God. It's not going to work. And so that's why the Jews, which have this perfect law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai directly from God. And if I went to a Jewish synagogue, they're going to be reading the same exact Old Testament that you and I have right in front of us in our lap right now. So isn't it interesting that the Jews end up being some of the most ungodly, unrighteous, unethical, and immoral people that there are? How does that compute? Because you'd expect them to have this righteous law from Mount Sinai that they would be so loving and so godly and so helpful. Everyone would be begging throughout the Middle Ages, begging to have them in their country. In 1492, Spain would be wanting to import more Jews. You know, and basically, like, all throughout the Middle Ages, you have all of these countries kicking out all the Jews. Why? Why is it that if we looked at the pornography industry or Hollywood or human trafficking, we would find so many Jews behind it? Okay. And why is it that the Jews of Hollywood are always promoting ungodliness, immorality, and even just Jews that we know in our everyday life? They're not teaching things like be a virgin when you get married, you know, don't drink, live a clean life. You know, they're out doing the things that God condemns, and they're immoral. And they're, what do they have a reputation for? They have a reputation for the love of money. This is not the righteousness found in the law. Why is that? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is simply because the Jews don't believe in Jesus. And if the Jews don't believe in Jesus, they're unregenerate. They're not justified. They're not saved. And they don't have the Spirit. They're carnally minded. And it's impossible for them to be subject to the law of God. Now, some fundamentalist Baptists will come along and try to tell you that, oh, well, you know, you're just thinking about liberal Jews. But, you know, there's these really conservative Jews over there, you know, the Hasidic Jews or the Orthodox Jews. I don't care what kind of Jews they are. They cannot be subject to the law of God because the Bible says that they cannot be subject to the law of God. Well, there's some Jews that really do keep the law. No, they don't. There is not a Jew on this planet that keeps the law, because the Bible says that the Jews don't keep the law, because the carnal mind can't be subject to the law of God. You say, well, I know they don't keep it perfectly. They don't keep it at all. The carnal mind can't be subject to the law of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot be brought into subjection of the laws of God. That's what the Bible says. It says it's not subject to the law of God, verse 7. Neither indeed can be. It's impossible to have a law-abiding Jew because they're not saved. They don't believe in Christ. And when I say law, I'm not saying they don't follow the speed limit or, you know, the laws of the United States. I'm saying law-abiding as in God's laws, okay? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And look, I'm picking on the Jews, but we could say the same thing about Muslims. We can say the same thing about the Buddhist, the Hindu, the atheist, the Roman Catholic. Anybody who's unregenerate, anybody who's not saved is an enemy of God and is not subject to the laws of God. Now, of course, we want to get those people saved so that we can break down that enmity between them and God and have them reconciled to God. That's the goal. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So everybody who's saved has the Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live, or if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay. Now, if you would jump back to chapter 6 in Romans, and we'll find these famous words in Romans 6. Because, of course, in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Obviously, we shouldn't just sin because we're not under the law, but under grace. We shouldn't just sin more so that grace may abound. But if we go down to verse 15, he asks a similar question, less famous, but just as important. What then, verse 15, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, if you would flip back to Galatians with all that in mind. So I know that was kind of maybe a little bit overwhelming because we're looking at all this heavy stuff from Romans 6 and 7 and 8, and it's kind of a lot to digest because the Bible's so deep, especially in those particular passages. But here is what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, is that we're dead to the law. We're not to serve in the oldness of the letter. We're to serve in the newness of the Spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit that enables us to live a righteous life, not just striving to follow the rules found in the Old Testament, even the ones that don't even apply to the New Testament. Some kind of a carnal work of cutting our flesh or eating a certain food or blowing a trumpet or following a certain calendar is not going to do anything toward our salvation, but it's also not going to do anything toward our sanctification. It's not going to do anything toward living a godly life, because the key to living the godly life is walking in the Spirit, by which you just end up fulfilling the works of the law without even necessarily specifically trying to follow the law. You see, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because you don't need the law. The law is not made for a righteous man. The law is made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, men stealers, for whoremongers, they that, you know, defile themselves with mankind, liars, perjured persons. That's who the law is made for. The law is not made for a righteous man. The righteous man doesn't need the law. Righteous people don't need a bunch of rules, a bunch of strict rules being broken down to them, telling them, do this, don't do that. Righteous people don't need that. You see, laws are typically added because of transgressions. If we were, for example, in our family, to have kids that are constantly doing the right things, we'd probably need very few rules in our house. But then as they do more and dream up things that we never could have thought of, now all of a sudden there are all these new rules. You know, and it goes the same thing at school. You know, school has, you know, a 60-page rule book, but next year it's going to be 61 because of all the things that the kids dream up this year to do. And, you know, I mean, it's sometimes it's hilarious to read school rule books because the rules are, oh, wait, I got a better example. We were out on the road trip. We went to a gym in Spokane, Washington, and everywhere, all over the gym, there were these signs saying, like, you're not allowed to exercise naked. And it did not seem like a joke. It was saying, like, you have to be clothed. And it showed, like, this is what we mean by clothed. And it showed, like, an outline of somebody naked. It's like circle, line through it. And I mean, they were definitely serious. And these signs are all over the place telling you, like, you have to wear clothes to this gym. And you're kind of like, what happened here? You know, like, what? Because you know that that didn't just come out of a vacuum. It's not just, well, I know an important rule we need to have. But you see, here's the thing. Laws get added because of transgressions. I mean, you know, why did God put the death penalty on murder? Because originally when God created the world, there was no death penalty on murder. But what happened? The whole earth became filled with violence. And then God's like, okay, death penalty on murder, right? And so, you know, this gym, here's this gym just going along and they, you know, all of a sudden some dude starts working out naked. All of a sudden, all right, we got a new rule, folks. You got to wear clothes to this gym. Why do we need that rule? Because somebody did it. The law is not made for righteous men. Now, listen, do you think that my nephew and I needed that sign? Do you think that that sign edified us in any way or made us a better gym user? Were we better gym users because we looked at that sign? No, we did by nature the things contained in that law. We didn't need somebody to sit there and spell that law to us. We didn't need to be like, all right, let's read the rule book. We got to do all these rules. You know, we just knew to show up with clothes on because we were walking in the proper workout spirit, okay? So look if you would, and I hope that illustration helps you understand a little bit how the law is made for the unrighteous man. It's made for some weird nudist. It's not made for the guy who comes dressed anyway. He doesn't need that law. You know, we have laws in our society against drugs. Those laws don't affect me at all. It's not like, oh, I was going to use drugs, but then, it's against the law. You know, I was going to bring my gun into that school, and it's like, it's a gun-free zone. You know, I was going to smoke crack, but turns out, you're not going to believe this, smoking crack's illegal. Is that what keeps me from smoking crack? No. Well, listen, the godly Christian does what's right, not because the law told him, but because he's walking in the Spirit anyway. And so he's fulfilling the righteousness of the law because God's Spirit is working in him and guiding him in the way that he should go. You see, if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. If we're led by the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to do what's right. So if you really want to go to a higher level spiritually, it's not by getting more into the rules and following more rules. What it's actually about is walking with God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll see yourself being more righteous. And here's the thing. Your life will line up with the laws of God. You'll fulfill the righteousness of the law. But not by following the law, by walking in the Spirit. I hope you understand the distinction there. So back to Galatians with that in mind, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5, and we could talk about chapter 3 as well, but I'd rather just jump right into chapter 5 here. But he says in chapter 5, verse number 13, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty," right? You're not under the bondage of the law. You're called unto liberty. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Now, again, let's go back to our illustration that we've been using the last few sermons about children living at home versus moving out. Okay? When you move out, there's liberty, right? I mean, theoretically, when you're a kid, this is what you say. Man, when I grow up, I'm going to move out. And I'm just going to just party all the time. And it's just going to be ice cream whenever I want. And it's going to be just staying up late and just video games. And just people are constantly going to be coming over. You know, that's what you have in mind because you're an immature child. And that kind of proves that you need all those rules. The fact that you're thinking that way shows, hey, you belong at home with somebody telling you to brush your teeth and, you know, eat your vegetables and don't skip the ice cream, skip the ice cream or whatever. Okay. But the thing is that when you do finally move out, all of a sudden you have all this liberty. And here's what ends up happening. If you're actually a mature adult like you should be, you end up not doing all that stuff you said you would do as a kid. You end up moving out and being just as responsible, and you're still kind of living a similar life that you were living at home. And things don't end up changing that much. Because at home, yeah, your parents are enforcing all these rules, but when you become an adult, you become mature and you have character, you know what you start doing? You start enforcing rules on yourself. Right? And in fact, I would say that I enforce more rules on myself now than my parents ever enforced on me when I was a kid. You know, I'm stricter with myself than they were with me when I was a kid. Now, obviously, it's different, but would I say that I have more freedom now? Of course I have more freedom. Freedom is not living a life of no rules. Freedom is living a life where you basically are choosing to follow the rules that you're choosing to follow as an adult. Like I decide when I get up and go to bed. It doesn't mean I just get up whenever. It just means mom's not telling me. I'm making that decision. It doesn't mean eating and drinking whatever. It just means I'm making that decision. So freedom is not anarchy. Freedom is not no rules. Freedom is following the rules that you decide to follow, right? Now, when we talk about liberty specifically in a biblical sense, what do we mean by liberty? Well, just as if a young person, you know, becomes an adult and moves out of the house, there's freedom there. We would say to our child, we would say, you know what? You have liberty now, but don't use this liberty as an occasion for the flesh, right? We would say, look, I know you're moving out on your own, but I hope you're not going to use this freedom to just do everything we told you not to do. Hopefully, you're going to use this freedom to serve God and to be a godly adult and to love the Lord and to do good things and use your liberty not as an occasion to just gratify your flesh with ice cream or even, bad things like alcohol and drugs and fornication, but that rather you would want to serve Christ with your liberty and use your liberty to serve Christ because you want to, not because you have to. But when it comes to this Christian liberty where he says, brethren, you've been called to liberty, we've graduated from the law into the New Testament. So the law is no longer a thing in the New Testament, right? We're dead to the law. And we're married to another, we're married to Christ, so we can bring forth fruit unto God. So being dead to the law, being delivered from the law, no longer being under the schoolmaster of the law, there's a certain liberty there that says, hey, I don't have to follow all these rules that are in the law. I don't have to sit there and bathe my flesh in water and be unclean until the even. I don't have to eat all these specific foods. I don't have to go to these feasts three times a year. I don't have to do animal sacrifices. I don't have to go through all these things. Like I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. I can just follow Christ and there's a liberty of not having the Old Testament law hanging over me as like, this is what I have to follow. Okay. But should I use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh and say, well, hey, I'm free in Christ, so I can just do whatever I want. Now, this teaching is out there. Sometimes this teaching is.
All right, that's the sermon clip, and we're coming up on the break. We'll analyze this on the other side, living in the spirit as opposed to living by the flesh and the law. Take your calls, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in on spiritual health and wellness. Your special Monday night edition schedule change here on In Plain Sight. Back on the other side. And I'm alone. Skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number is 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we're back to the show. Jeremy here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Your Monday night spiritual health and wellness. Once again, we're moving the Wednesday night spiritual health and wellness to Monday. Because Wednesday we have David Scorpio joining the show. So we're just in the middle of a sermon here. And by the way, go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage. Keep free speech alive. Mail your check or money order payable to RBN. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if you want to call in to weigh in on the show, 512-248-8252. So we did a clip on Steven Anderson highlighting Romans 8. Galatians 5, Galatians 3, walking in the Spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh and the law. And one of the things the speaker brought up was that the law was our schoolmaster, and this is targeted at believers, born-again believers, will be the target specifically of tonight's study. And we'll go to Galatians 3, going in verses 23 through 26. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's Galatians 3. Verses 23 through 26. the schoolmaster concept historically in the Roman Empire, you know, Paul was specifically using this example as a young person who was to be a ruler or a governor. And until they came of age, they were under a schoolmaster. They were under certain litigation that kept them obeying the rules, and they couldn't just openly rule or make rules or do whatever they felt like because they were still children. They were under a schoolmaster. They were under a specific set of laws. But once they came to maturity, they could then rule and govern based on the training that they had received as a child. And so this transfers, this example is used to illustrate the Christian life. So in the plain sense of the text, people living under the Old Testament were under the Old Testament law, and they had not yet been revealed the faith that was to come through Jesus Christ. Once that faith was revealed, as Galatians 3, 23 highlights, once that faith was revealed, they became born again, and then they walked by the Spirit to obey the law in the Spirit rather than the letter of the law. And examples were given in the particular sermon. As a child, you had certain rules and laws when you lived at home. It could have been things of laundry, you know, deliver your laundry at a certain point during the week so it could be washed. Brush your teeth. Don't eat too many sweets before supper. And when mealtime does come, you have to eat certain things. Why were these rules and laws put upon you as a child? Because these are the things that would benefit you. You had to get your laundry done. You had to eat certain foods. You couldn't just fill up on sweets. And so when you became independent, as the speaker was putting out, and you went off on your own, and you had your own house or apartment or whatever, you would obey these laws, not because there are things that were imposed upon you, but because these are things that are good for you. You don't want to eat a bunch of sweets because it's bad for your teeth, and you're paying for your own dental insurance now, and you have to keep your teeth in certain working order, as well as your health. You had to have laundry ready for your work day. You couldn't just stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning if you had to be up at work at 6. You had to have a bedtime. So you end up enforcing certain laws on yourself when you become independent of your parents. And why do you impose these laws on yourself? Because there are things that are good for you. You understand at this point in your maturity level that these are the things that are good for you, right? So similarly, in the Christian walk for born-again believers, you're not under these stringent laws that you have to check and follow, and no one's putting laws upon you concerning the laws of God. As a born-again believer, you're obeying these things because you know that that's good for you and that these laws are good for your fellow neighbor that you coincide with. Coming up on the break now, more on this on the other side. Spiritual health and wellness. Since you've been gone, there's something I wanna say. Since you've been gone, there's no one taking your place.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First are right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next are beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames, eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Memory, your limelight is burning holes. Recover the damage. Bring it all home.
Okay, we're coming back to the show. Your Monday night special, Spiritual Health and Wellness. We're doing Monday night instead of Wednesday because we're going to have a guest on Wednesday, David Scorpio. And so you're getting preached at tonight. Some King James Bible thumping, pulpit pounding content. Walking in the Spirit for believers as opposed to walking in the flesh. So again, all of the content so far has been directed to believers, born-again believers, how you're to walk once you are saved by grace through faith. To the unbeliever, you cannot obey the law. There's no satisfaction in the eyes of God for your so-called righteousness. Your righteousness are as filthy rags, Romans 3. And so it's only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his substitutionary death on the cross for your sins and his resurrection. That's the object of your faith to be born again. If you're trying to live a good life or follow the law, you're going to fail. And that's also the message that was brought to the speaker tonight. Again, we came in on the middle of the sermon. This is sort of an ongoing study that I've been doing on Wednesday nights with Anderson on walking in the Spirit. So I want to shift over to his focus on the Jewish religion. not only the religion, but the Jewish ethnicity, because Jews are not just a religion, they are an ethnicity. All these people who claim that they are Jews, and I highly doubt that they could connect genetically with Israel of the Old Testament. I don't know who these Jews are in the modern era. Your Victoria Nulands, your Anthony Blinkens, and thus Chuck Schumers, but they call themselves Jews, and these are the ones that are heading our society into definite peril. As the speaker mentioned, they dominate Hollywood, the media, our politics, and specific things he mentioned, like the porn industry. These people who call themselves Jews claim they have certain claims to the Old Testament, Jews, to Israel. And who knows if they could genetically prove that, that's who they say that they are. And these particular Jews, they claim that they have a certain access to God that is beyond New Testament Christianity, that simply because of their ethnicity, that they have this claim to chosenness. All right. And this is where the speaker openly exposes them, because they do not adhere, they do not claim the Son of God. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus. As the Apostle John wrote, if you don't have the Son, then you don't have the Father. So this particular sect of Jews that are making these claims are not in any way connected with modern Christianity. And so the Christian Zionists who prop up these Jews, and we're talking about your John Hagees and the like, even you go back to Schofield, these particular Christians will prop up these Jews, and they will say, well, these are the people, the chosen people of God. And in doing so, they're reverting back to obeying the law, because these are the Zionist Christians who will go back to like doing circumcision, saying that circumcision has some sort of a spiritual value, that obeying the feasts and the different things that the Jews did in the Old Testament of Israel, they'll say that if you obey these things, you will attain righteousness with God. These particular people, the speaker was condemning, because these works of the law cannot bring you to salvation. And you can even get into Protestant practices that sort of mirror these Judaistic practices. So let's take the Roman Catholic Church, for example. Infant baptism and the confession of sins to a priest, doing the rosaries and all the things that the Roman Catholics do, these are works. These are works of the flesh. These are not walking and living in the Spirit. These are things that even these Protestant groups do, and they try to attain favor with God through works of the flesh. All right. And this is condemned all throughout the New Testament. The observing of new moons and of feasts and of festivals. None of this is obtaining favor with God. It is only the belief, the acceptance that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins and rose again from the dead. That's what gets you favor with God. All of these other works of the flesh are meaningless. And so you could have, in this scenario, non-believers people who are not born again, but they are, you know, compared to other people in the world, they do righteous works. In other words, they care for their family. They maintain jobs. They do good to other people. They live relatively good lives, relatively speaking, to other non-believers that disobey the law of God. You could have non-believers maintaining a good works lifestyle where they check all the right boxes, but they're doing so because they think that they can obtain salvation or justification before God through these good works. And this also is something that the speaker had condemned and that the Bible condemns, more importantly. The book of Titus tells us that through good works, we'll know, you know, Romans 3 says through the works of the flesh, through the works of the law, will no flesh be justified. So even the person that thinks that they're checking all the boxes and doing all the things necessary to live a good life and to do good to others and not break the law of God, if they're doing this for the purpose of obtaining righteousness before God, they're failing miserably. All right? Because Jesus pointed out himself that even your thoughts condemn you. In the Sermon on the Mount, documented through Matthew chapters 5 through 7, you know, Jesus pointed out that it's not enough to not commit adultery with your neighbor. Even lusting after your neighbor's wife, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So even your thought processes condemn you. And that's something that's pointed out thoroughly through Scripture. So even to the unbeliever, trying to do the works of the law and checking all the boxes is not going to get you righteousness before God. It is only faith. Getting back to believers who are born again and how they're to live in this life, we get to Galatians 5, another passage that the speaker pointed to. Galatians 5, starting in verse 1 in the King James Bible, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." So the context of this chapter, you had Jews who had converted to Christianity coming into the church of Galatia, who were Gentiles, and who were of my people, the Celtic people. And you had these Jews coming into the church saying, well, it's not enough to just have faith in Christ. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to obey the various laws of the Old Testament in order to obtain favor of God. And Paul's pushing back against this. And he's saying that these things of the flesh profit you nothing. And he's specifically targeting the believers in the church of Galatia. And he's saying, don't worry about following the full letter of the law. If you're truly born again, you're going to follow this letter automatically through the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means that, you know, the two great commandments, as Christ pointed out, was love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor. So if you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, you're not going to be engaged in idolatry. You're not going to be putting up false images or any image of, at all of God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. Any images that you put out of the Godhead is idolatry. God specifically said in Deuteronomy 4 that, you know, you have not seen my form, therefore do not make an image and corrupt yourselves. He's pointing out that making images of the Godhead is a form of idolatry because you're trying to represent the Godhead in human form, in a human way, And you can't do that. So pictures of Jesus, actors' portrayals of Jesus, that would include nativity scenes, or in the holiday that pagans call Easter, which is literally Resurrection Sunday. Doing a play where some man puts on a beard, or he has a beard already, and puts on white robes and portrays Jesus, this is idolatry. This is gross idolatry. And, you know, the Lord says you're not allowed to do that. All of these things are works of the flesh. So living in the Spirit, you would know automatically not to portray God or any member of the Godhead of the Trinity through images or actors or carved images, statues, paintings, anything of the like. All right. Also, you're not going to misuse or mistreat your neighbor. If you love your neighbor as yourself, then automatically you're going to walk in the paths. You don't need tremendous amounts of laws that tell you to do this or to not do that. You can automatically know not to defraud your neighbor. If you go into a business venture with a fellow human being, you know, you're going to know to not defraud them, to charge them correctly, to not overcharge or to charge interest. Interest is against the Christian principles. So you're going to know not to do that. All of these things are what the speaker and what the Bible is outlining as walking in the Spirit for the believer, right? So the believer does not need this strenuous set of laws that they're constantly checking boxes on to say, well, am I doing this right or am I doing that right? The speaker got into dressing properly. And this is something that I've observed in all of these modern churches, these 501c3s, these Christian Zionist churches. The females are coming into the church dressed completely immodest. All right, the Bible admonishes females to dress modestly. And the context of that is to not, you know, dress in a way that's, you know, you're not flaunting your riches. But there's also, in modesty, there's also not showing off your body. Girls, the leggings, they've got to go, right? When you wear these leggings, or what I would call pantyhose as pants, I mean, you shouldn't wear them anywhere, but especially the church, we can see your camel toe, okay? It started off like 5 or 6 years ago where they would wear like a dress that covered the leggings down to like the hip. And then the dress got a little shorter and then it became a shirt. And now they're just openly wearing these leggings, which are like basically Peter Pan tights or Robin Hood tights, into the church. And, you know, the females are like, oh, we're covering up our bodies. But like, you're showing every crevice. You're showing like the very outline of your ass and your vag, and everybody can see that. All of these little teenage boys can see that. This is not dressing modestly. If you're truly walking by the Spirit, you're not going to wear this crap anywhere in public, much less into the church. Let's get into booty shorts, ladies. It's still summers. I mean, you know, it's officially autumn, but it's still hot outside. And so these females coming into the church are wearing these little shorts like you would see from 1980s basketball players. I don't know if they're coming from sports events or what they're doing, but the young and even the older females, even the millennials and Gen Xers, are wearing these booty shorts. So first of all, like, if you're older than 20, like, we don't want to see that crap, number one. But also, regardless of your age, you don't need to be displaying your body in that manner in public, and especially in the church. if you're truly walking by the Spirit, you're not going to be showing off your body like these females do in the rock and country music videos and in all the mainstream media that you take in, where they're showing this stuff off. You should be separate and different from this. All right. We don't want to see that. Guess what, ladies? The young boys in your church, they're talking about your asses and your camel toes. That's what they're talking about. They're not focusing on the Word of God. Up on the break now, and we'll be back on the other side with the conclusion.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Coming back to the final segment of Spiritual Health and Wellness on Monday night, a special broadcast, moving Spiritual Health and Wellness from Wednesday to Monday just for this week, as we're going to have David Scorpio on Wednesday night. So I was just finishing up the talk on walking in the Spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh and by the law. Specifically, I was targeting believers in churches, and even more specifically, females who do not dress appropriately. I kind of hit everything you know, the modern 501c3 church are relatively Christian Zionists. So they give these Jews, these so-called Jews, who are the synagogue of Satan, they give them certain priority because of my chosen people, completely against the Bible and against the New Testament. But also I was targeting females and how they dress at church and why they dress like they dress. So here's the thing. Since the 1960s sexual revolution, females have become empowered. And, you know, you got the no-fault divorce and all of that. So you can enter into this legal contract with a female and produce children and wealth. And this female can just divorce you legally for no reason at all and take all of your money and your children. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. So there's the one aspect. But then either before, during, or after the divorce, or during the marriage or whatever, they can dress inappropriately to church, mind you. And what is it exactly that they're trying to communicate? Are they telling you that they're on display and available for purchase? I mean, in society, in the last 5,000 years of human history, that's definitely the message that they would be portraying. But in current year, what they're saying when they dress this way, when they dress inappropriately, is that we're going to dress this way and we want you to look at us. That's what the females are saying. We want you to look at us. You can look, but you can't touch. And if you say anything at all, we're going to tell you that you're a chauvinist and you're out of line, you're old fashioned, and maybe even hit you with some sort of sexual assault. It's a power move. Okay. That's the reason that the females dress like this and put all their body on display. They want you to look, males, and they want you to lust, but you can't touch or say or do anything, or you'll get hit. That's the bottom line. That's the red pill. All right, you guys didn't call in, so that's what you get. Tomorrow night we'll do Patrick and Jeremy, and then Scorpio on Wednesday. You guys stay classy.
PublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.